Blog Talk Radio.
Brad's Talk Live starts now.
Give me fuel, give me fire, give me that which I desire.
Yeah. Welcome to Garage Talk Live. I'm Vinny, your host. And we had a few races this weekend, as well as some other nonsense going on. Hope everybody's safe in more ways than one. Jamie Little, Fox Sports Pit Reporter, will be joining me in about a half an hour. Haven't talked to her in a while, so she could help me make sense of the racing schedule. Of course, the first part of the NASCAR season was to be broadcast by Fox, so they had to chop off a few races, and then they came back last week with four cup races, some Xfinity races. I think it was like seven races in 11 days. This past weekend, they were in Bristol. Of course, cup race was Sunday, and the Xfinity race was yesterday, as opposed to Saturday and Sunday. I'm trying to think, the weather wasn't too bad on Saturday. But anyway, it's neither here nor there. It's hard to keep track of the schedule because I'm trying to figure out what the main schedule is, and next week coming up will be Atlanta. I guess they're playing it by ear, so we'll know what to make of it by next week's show when we get the wrap-up from this upcoming, the Atlanta race. ARCA gets back into action in a couple of weeks as well, so I'm sure it's going to be no fans, which is kind of weird, but we'll get Jamie to explain how that feeling is being on pit road with somebody with a boom mic to the driver staying 6 feet apart when usually you're up close and personal within a foot and a half. It's going back and forth with the microphone, which is something I'm a little more used to, but but things are different these days. So, one of these things that, you know, you have to adapt. It makes you wonder of all the crews and things that you take to the track that are the can sit at the station, at the shop and do it. The engineers and all that you usually have. There's been no practices, no qualifying. And qualifying, from what I saw, was either done by, I guess, you reach in and draw your position, or based on the prior week, because Chase Elliott, I think, started from the pole on this one. And, of course, he had some bad luck. He was going for the lead late in the race when him and Logano got together. So, where did he wind up finishing on that one? Looking for the starting position. Well, Brad Keselowski started on the pole, so. Every week, I guess it's a different, we still have the stages. So, and the second races that were at the tracks at the beginning, or I should say at the return, the two at Charlotte and the two at Darlington, the only one I think that was official length was the Coca-Cola 600. And, of course, the Supermarket Heroes 500. Presented by Food City, of course. So usually the Food City 500, but they decided to change it a little bit this week in the Cup Series. Was 500 laps, which is the official length of this race that they run during the daytime. So, of course, when they return in August, I believe it's August, I don't know, they changed the schedule. I had the schedule set up, and then I can go back and find it. The they had Atlanta actually scheduled for the 15th, so they're bringing that one back this weekend. And they're just bumping them down and rearranging them. So they missed Homestead because that one and the first Dover race, Homestead was bumped to the 22nd of March when it used to be the last one of the season. So, I mean, they've changed all that around. So I'm looking at the official Cup Series schedule as it was meant to be before the pandemic. So we'll just have to see how things change that way. This year, Dover is in August instead of either the beginning of September, late September or early October. They removed it from the playoff series. But get some of the winners before Jamie falls in. First, the Xfinity Series. This was run last night or yesterday. 303 laps. It did go overtime. Was scheduled 300. Noah Gragson started ninth, driver of the number 9 by Junior Motorsports, took the checkered flag. Chase Briscoe, who had a rough time of it last week, came home second. Brandon Jones was third. Harrison Burton was fourth. Myatt Snyder was fifth. Daniel Hemric sixth. Brandon Brown, 7th. Jeremy Clements, good run for him, in 8th. He's an owner-driver and has technical help from Richard Childress Racing. So it's kind of like his farm team. So I remember him driving and finishing down in the bottom 20. Now he's up in the top 10, so that's good for him. Josh Williams is 9th, and then A.J. Allmendinger. The Dinger is back, rounding out the top 10. And some of your normal front runners finished towards the back, got in the wrecks and stuff. It is Bristol. It is tight. Austin Cindric, Michael Annette, Jeff Green back in a car. I haven't seen him in a while. Front row, Joe Nemechek. They're all Ross Chastain. All had some issues. There were 10 lead changes amongst 6 drivers. 12 cautions for 85 laps. That includes stage conclusions, which were done clean. There were no stage conclusions / incident caution. We did have a red flag on lap 143 for the number 02 in turn 4. It was only a 9:31, but they did shut it down for a cleanup. Stage winners. Or Gregson, stage 1. And Justin Allgaier took stage 2. Again, Gregson took the important stage. The checkered flag at the end. Average speed, 69.68. 2:19:03. Total time. Margin of victory, 0.328. Next race will be the 6th of June. Today, that would be Friday night. Let's see. Today's the 2nd, 3rd, 4th, 5th, 6th, Saturday in Atlanta for the Xfinity Series. Let's hear our race winner. Driver of the number 9 for JR Motorsports, Noah Gregson, who's also friends with Haley Deegan. And I think she should be coming back soon, too.
Winner of tonight's race. Noah, can you talk us a little bit, talk us through your run tonight?
Well, we had a really strong run all night in the top 5. We started ninth and got up really quick. So I'm just super proud of the number 9 team. Man, that's their efforts. This was one of my worst tracks leading into this weekend, and put a lot of effort in with Josh Wise, Brandon McReynolds, Dave Ellens, and this 19. They really prepared a great race car. The Plan B sale Chevrolet was really good. So at the end, it was getting really dicey. The track was really, really slick. I started running the top, and there's nothing there. We got that caution with about 10 to go, and Justin, he slipped up and wanted to while I was running him down, and that allowed me to get inside of him. I wouldn't have gotten to him if he didn't slip up, but got into him the next corner, down 1-2, and just got loose underneath him. We thought yesterday, I don't make excuses, I take responsibility, so I apologize for the 7 car, but I'm here to win races, and I'm here for the number 9 team, and they put in way too much effort for me to ride around and finish 2nd. So I've always been a really aggressive driver, and I'm really thankful and fortunate to be able to race in the Xfinity Series. And, how about that? We had a veteran on the cars today, Jason Oden, and that was really special to be able to honor him around the racetrack. And hopefully we can get a Lionel diecast now with his name on it. That'd be pretty damn cool.
All right, well, we're going to open up the floor for questions. So as a reminder, just put that participant tab at the bottom and raise your hand. We're going to get started with Bob Pappas. Go ahead, Bob.
And Noah, so do you dread your team meeting on Tuesday or Wednesday? And do you have to speak first, or do you have to let Justin speak first?
Well, I saw him. He said he'll talk to me later. But, I mean, I came to the racetrack with my crew chief today. I didn't come with anyone else. So we are a family over at Junior Motorsports, and that's not my goal, is to tear up race cars. But I had the opportunity. The opportunity's there. I don't know how many races we have left, but the opportunity can slip away, and I damn well want to take advantage of it. So I don't know what's going to happen in the future. I take full responsibility for getting loose underneath them. I mean, that's a fact. But one thing that you can't say is that I'm not aggressive and that I'm not going to try, and I'm sure he'll know that. He probably owes me one, but if you don't slip up the lap before, I don't get you, and you drive off the victory. So. I don't mess up, I guess.
Well, the points as they stand with the win, Chase Briscoe leads the points. That's where I got to mention this earlier. Gregson with the win. It's his second this year. And Briscoe has two, so he's in the playoffs. Good, of course. They have a 12-position playoff in the Xfinity Series. Harrison Burton is third. Justin Allgaier, who he was talking about, his teammate, is fourth. Ross Chastain, fifth. Austin Cindric, sixth. Brandon Jones with the win, seventh. Eighth, Justin Haley. Or it could have been Justin Haley. It was Justin they were talking about, so. He didn't mention last name. And Ryan Sieg, ninth. Riley Herbst, tenth. Daniel Hemric, 11th. And Brandon Brown are your top points getters, playoff contenders. So back with Noah.
I don't know.
Thank you.
Well, let's hear from his crew chief.
All right. And we are now joined by Dave Ellen, race-winning crew chief of the number 9 Chevrolet. Can you just walk us a little bit through your run tonight with the number 9 fleet?
Our run was pretty solid all night. We actually unloaded with a lot of speed. We were really happy with the balance of the car throughout the night. Unfortunately, that first pit stop, we had an air hose malfunction on us, and I lost a few spots there. I don't think it really changed the outcome. You know, the 7 had a really strong car all night, and I think probably would have got us around us in that second stage. But Noah did a good job on the restart, getting back up through there. I think he gained, like, I don't know, 6 spots in 1 or 2 laps. So proud of his effort on that stop. And then just kept working on it. The track seemed to be going a little tight on everybody. And we probably, the one long run after the second stage break, we didn't make a big enough adjustment to keep it turning for him on the long run. And the 11 got by us, and, you know, fortunately that caution came out for us. We were able to adjust on the car a little bit. We felt good about the balance and just needed some position on the 7. You know, he ended up making a couple mistakes. You know, 2 laps in a row, we got to his inside, and unfortunately we had some contact and ruined the night for those guys. They worked really hard here at Bristol. They've helped us out a lot, making our setup faster, making Noah appreciate everything they've done, and had the fastest car here for 3 races in a row, and M came out with the win. So, you know, wish them luck in the fall, and just happy with the outcome for us.
There you have it. In the Cup race, the main event, which was on Sunday, due to the luck of, or the bad luck, or what, as you want to call it, between Joey Logano, who was leading, and Chase Elliott, who was trying to make the pass to the inside. Elliott kind of slid into Logano. Logano slid up tight into the wall, which allowed Brad Keselowski, their pole sitter, to get past them both, take the checkered flag, and, of course, they faded down, so therefore Clint Bowyer came in second. Jimmy Johnson came in third. Kyle Busch came in fourth. Eric Jones was fifth. Austin Dillon was sixth. Kurt Busch was seventh. Eighth was William Byron, Christopher Bell in ninth, and Bubba Wallace runs out the top 10. Where did Logano end? 21st and 22nd in that order. Logano 21st. And Chase Elliott was 22nd. So it was 1 and 2, but there was a 2 in front of that 1 and 2. So that's how far they dropped after contact because everybody was able to get around them. Keselowski did lead twice for 115 laps, four times for 115 laps. The other biggest lap leader was Denny Hamlin, three times for 131. Chase Elliott won stages 1 and 2. Margin of victory 4.471, not 4.4. 4.471. There were 21 lead changes amongst 7 drivers and 17 cautions for 102 laps. There was a competition caution on lap 66, which was surrounded by an incident caution on lap 62 to 67. Either that or there's a misprint here. Stage one was completion was not marred, and I think stage two might have been as well. Kevin Harvick leads Joey Logano in the points. Harvick with one win, Logano with two. Chase Elliott is locked in with one win in third. Brad Keselowski with two wins is fourth. Alex Bowman in fifth. Martin Truex in sixth with no wins. Bowman has one. Denny Hamlin has two wins. He's in seventh. And then you have Ryan Blaney, Kyle Busch in ninth, Kurt Busch in tenth, Eric Amarola in 11th, Clint Bowyer in 12th, Matt DiBenedetto, another good run for him. But he's in the 21 car, so that's a lot better car than he was driving in 13th. Eric Jones, 14th, 15th, Jimmy Johnson, and Austin Dillon on the bubble. That's a 3-point difference between Dillon and William Byron, so there's going to be a little battle of Chevys there with 3 in the 24. So, to wait and see. Let's catch a word from our winner. Let me hunt him down. Brad Keselowski.
And now we are joined by the race-winning driver of tonight's Food City Presents Supermarket Heroes 500. That's Brad Keselowski, driver of the number 2 discount tire Ford for Team Penske. Brad, that was an eventful final few laps, an eventful race, really. Walk us through that.
Yeah, can you hear me okay?
Yep.
Okay, perfect. Yeah, just a wild, wild day. One of those days that, you look at and you think of as going back and being a part of Bristol lore for a long time to come. And I'm glad we were able to win at Eaton and Banging. Oh, my goodness. We've all been cooped up in our houses too long and came to Bristol and took out some aggression, I guess. I don't know, but... early on in the race, everybody was hitting each other, and it carried in all the way to the end. And, some people ran me over. I probably ran some people over, and everybody's mad at everybody going into Atlanta next week. But just a really eventful day for us. We started up front on the pole, led a bunch of laps, lost the lead, and then we made some adjustments to the car and got really good in the second stage, got the lead and lost the lead on pit road, and I just could not hit the restart. After that, I kept falling back. Fell all the way to, I think, 8th or 9th or something like that. And just started to get really frustrated. Started to lose the handle on the car. The track kept changing. And pushing really hard and got a pit road penalty. It was just, wow, I am just digging a hole. And with about 40-some to go, I think we were running 14th or 15th. 48, 49 to go, I don't know. Somebody's probably got stat on that. And we came in, we put left-side tires on, came off of pit road in a spot to compete. And I think we came off pit road maybe 12th and just kept cycling forward. They'd drop the green, we'd go five laps, they'd wreck. They'd drop the green, we'd go five laps, they'd wreck. Until next thing I knew, I was restarting fourth. Like, wow, this is perfect. And cleared for third on the restart there, the last restart, and I watched Joey and Chase going at it. And next thing I knew, they were wrecking. And here we found ourselves in victory lane. Just really crazy how it all came together. But I'll tell you, I'm super proud to be here and to get a second win in the season. You know, that's, for me, my fifth year with multiple wins in a row is really good. Really happy and proud of that, you know, and trying to put ourselves in a position to make a real run at a championship. Hopefully we can do just that. And I feel like we're coming together as a team. You know, this is a new team this year. Same number, same car and all that, but new team. And they're really starting to gel, so I'm very happy for them.
Good deal. We're going to open the floor for questions. We're going to start the question, Bob.
Yeah, Brad, you talked about the aggression early, and we saw kind of Chase and Logano have their incident, and Chase kind of taking blame for it. You know, I asked Jimmy about, you know, he made a mistake at Darlington. Kyle Busch made a mistake at Darlington. I mean, is there anything wrong with us seeing you guys make mistakes, or is there a reason for it?
Well, mistakes make for great racing. That's why, you know, when you watch rookies run some of these tracks, it's a lot of fun. You know, I think you look at the lower tier series, they're some of the most fun races to watch because the drivers make a lot of mistakes, and that creates a lot of action. I think sometimes you get to the cup level and, you know, whether it's the setup or the driver's experience, you don't see a lot of mistakes. And people missing that the cars are easy to drive, but it's really the opposite. It's just pros, and you know, these guys are really good. For whatever reason, whether it's just not having a chance to really work on the cars or practice or the drivers not getting those experiences, we're seeing more mistakes with this style of racing, the no practice type stuff. I think that's a bad thing. I think that makes for better racing in a lot of different ways. So I hope we keep it up. And I said earlier this week that I felt like NASCAR struck gold with these formats, and I stand by that. These are great formats, and we're seeing some of the best racing we've ever seen in NASCAR accordingly. And I'm not just saying that because I'm in victory lane. I think a lot of people would say this is a tremendous race, and I hope they enjoyed it.
And do you think you talk about this team, a potential championship team, do you feel like you need to get your contract situation, whatever way it is, settled sooner than later in order for you guys to do that, or can you keep the two separate?
I mean, I haven't thought of it that way. You know, I haven't put that much thought into anything other than just competing and winning and wanting to be in a spot to compete and win for a long time. And so I don't let it be a distraction, but, I can't always speak for others, but the experience I've had with the team, they're not either.
Thank you.
Our next question will come from Jenna Fryer. Go ahead with your question, Jenna.
Hey, Brad, what do you make of winning two races in the fashion that you have? Is it being in the right place at the right time?
Yeah, there's definitely a lot of that. We got good speed today. You know, I think maybe the 9 car might have been the fastest car, but only by a little bit. I might have been just as fast as he was. We just got behind, and I made a couple of mistakes and dug ourselves a little bit of a hole, but I think on equal tires, we were as good or better than anyone else out there, and probably equal to the 9. So it just didn't really play out that way for us to show that in the middle part of the race. In the beginning, it did. I think if you look at a couple other races this year, I felt like we were probably the second or third best car at Phoenix, and kind of had the opposite of today happen where all the yellows came against us and bad lanes on restarts and all that kind of stuff. So it's nice to catch some of those breaks. You know, the Coke 600, I don't know if we were as good as the 9. I don't think we were, but I thought we were the second best car again. And, you know, you run like this and you put yourself in position with good cars and running up in the top 5 and allow good things to happen to yourself. Be in position, and I think that's what we're doing really well as a team right now.
You said after the 600, you've lost races a lot of different ways. Have you ever won 2 in a row like this?
Gosh, I can't. Maybe in 18, we won 3 races in a row, and I don't think we were the fastest car in any one of those 3 races in position, and good things happened to us. And it feels really cool when it goes that way. It feels really bad when it goes against you. You know, you just kind of got to ride the roller coaster and enjoy the good parts and try to shrug off the bad parts.
Thanks, Brad.
Thank you.
Our next question will come from Jason Brown. Go ahead, Jason.
Matt, thank you. Brad, congratulations on the win. You touched on your last pit stop there with that 41 to go. Can you take me through what the strategy was? Was that the thinking, put two tires on, and if something happens up in front, you've got a chance of racing past everybody?
Yeah, I think with 41 to go, I was quite honestly just hoping to get a top 10. And once we broke in the top 10, I thought, oh, I got a real shot at top 5. And then next thing I know, we're running 5th, and I think the 11 car got turned around or something happened there. Now we're running 4th. I'm like, oh, now we got the preferred lane on the restart. And then the restart, we clear and get 3rd, and I'm watching Chase and Joe. I'm like, oh, this is not going to be good. It was just such a turn of event. It felt like I was sitting in Vegas and playing poker, and I got all the turns, you know, what they call it, the river and all that. All the turns went my way, and went from having a bad hand to having a full house real quick.
Well said. Congrats.
Thank you.
Question will come from Lee Spencer. Go ahead with the question, Lee.
Congratulations, champ. Was that your call, or was that your crew chief's call to take the two tires?
Well, that was Jeremy's. Jeremy called a really good race, and I'm super proud of him and this team, the way they've come together and keep coming together. It's a special group, and I feel like we're all trying to find each other's full potential, and we're just starting to do that. You know, and we were getting real close to that before the pandemic happened and kind of slowed us down, and now we're really pushing each other hard, and that's a very good thing.
A lot of people have given Hendrick, you know, kudos for the way that they've come out of the box, and their teams are all strong, but you feel like Team Penske is absolutely just right there.
We're right. We're just a touch behind. You know, I think the mile and a half, so I would say that Hendrick's definitely a little better, but on the short track, I think we're really, really closely.
Thank you. Have a great week.
You too.
Our next question will come from Jordan Bianchi. Go ahead with your question, Jordan.
We kind of asked my question, but to kind of follow up on that, is the difference this year for Chevrolet the fact that they have a new Camaro and they were able to take that car and redesign it around a rules package that they already have? They know what that rules package is going to be like, and they can tweak it specifically for that.
And now we'll hear from Jeremy Mullins for his side of the victory. We're still waiting on Jamie. She might be tied up with her call in to Fox Sports. So stay tuned.
And we are now joined by today's race-winning crew chief, Jeremy Mullins, of the number 2 Disc Golf Tire.
Oh, wait. There she is. I'd like to welcome to the show Fox Sports pit reporter and my longtime friend, the one and only, the best pit reporter on TV, bar none, the one and only Jamie Little. Hi, Jamie. How's it going?
Hey, it's going great. How about you?
Well, fortunately, sitting up here in the middle of nowhere, with all this stuff going on, I feel kind of safe in more ways than one. And I was watching, you know, the season starts. I watch. I have to talk about it every week. And Daytona came around. It seemed like everything was going normal. And I meant to text you because at one point, there's one interview you had that said, "She's my idol." You got to interview the President of the United States. What was that like?
It was pretty incredible. I mean, just an honor. No matter what side of the fence you're on, it's an honor when the White House calls and says, "Hey, would Jamie Little be willing to interview the President when he comes by before the race?" That's pretty awesome. So, yeah, a lot went into it. Just background checks and meetings with Secret Service and then when the moment happens, I mean, it was great. He and his wife, Melania, couldn't have been kinder.
So they actually requested you.
Yes, the White House, I guess.
Wow.
They do their research. And actually, the gentleman from the White House is a fan of NASCAR. So I guess he just chose who he wanted to interview the President. And I said, yes, absolutely.
Obviously, he's a fan of yours, too, and you did a fine job on that one. And then we had a couple of races in. And all of a sudden, out of nowhere, we all get locked in, racing canceled. And so what did you do in your time off? Because how do you talk about something that isn't happening? I mean,
fortunately on this show, I can book other guests for other topics, but when you do motorsports and NASCAR racing, this is the meat of the Fox season pretty much, and you guys got basically shut down.
Yeah, it was interesting. You definitely have to get creative and teach yourself new skills with technology and the whole Zoom and Skype and then interviewing people that way. You know, I don't sit still very well, so I definitely came up with new ways. I came up with a new series called Off Track with Jamie Little that I feature former race car drivers or people who've been influenced by NASCAR. And it's something I've always wanted to do, and it was the perfect time to do it. And now here we are. I think I've got 7 or 8 in the can. You could see those on all the NASCAR on Fox social sites, YouTube, and all that. But that's been incredible. So that kept me a little busy, plus my 2 kids and my 4 dogs. And we have a business, Nothing Bunk Cake. So we were out doing deliveries about every day through the whole crisis. We were deemed essential. So we delivered cake, the whole family. So it kept us busy.
So you're a baker now, too?
I don't bake. My husband can, but we've hired people to do that for us. But my husband runs the business, and then I fill in and help where I can.
You give that celebrity profile to get people to buy. That's pretty good.
Yeah, why not, right? We're in Indianapolis, so I got the drivers and all the teams that love their cake. So thankfully, they use us.
Hey, that's the way to do it. Mm-hmm. Sometimes networking. And all the time you've put into motorsports, both series, because back in your ESPN days, you used to work the Indy 500. So now you live in town there. I was like, I wonder why she moved from Vegas to Indianapolis and not closer to Charlotte or something like that.
Yeah, I've lived in Charlotte before, but my husband's from here in this area. He has a lot of family, and they're involved in racing, and it just made sense to raise our kids here. So we packed up and moved, and so far it's been pretty good. Winters are a little brutal. Don't really love that part, but otherwise it's been fun. It's a racing town. People are just so nice here.
Well, I met you, I think, I saw you your last birthday, and I know how old you turned, and we've known each other a long time.
Yeah, I've been coming on your show a long time, right?
Yeah, I mean, I met you at Dover, and
yeah,
and we've been friends ever since. So I'm glad to see things have turned out well. Now you see your interviews with former drivers. Have you talked to Shauna Robinson yet?
I have not. I've talked to Danica and talked to Rusty. That's coming up next weekend, or I believe this Thursday or Friday that's going to come out. And Kenny Wallace and Mark Martin, Casey Kane. So it's been really fun. Bobby Labonte. So I dive into the history, you know, things that stood out to them, things that they love, things maybe people they didn't love to race against. And they just tell stories. It's just such a fun platform because it's opposite of what I get to do, and that's, you know, short-form questions. It's about the race. You have a certain amount of time, and these are just wide open. So I love that part of it.
Sounds like it could be more of a talk show type of thing.
Yeah.
But you really get to relax and do your own thing instead of having to go by the network. Now, you do all this in your house via Zoom or Skype or whatever?
Yes, I do it all on Zoom, and got my Fox colleagues all helping me and editing, and they put it together, and they just make it look so great. So I've been really thankful to work with some really good people that have helped produce it all and make my vision a reality. It's been really, really fun. I'll keep it going as long as I can. Racing and everything, I think that there's definitely a place for it. There's a lot of people out there that want to relive those past years and hear from the drivers that aren't at the racetrack every week.
Speaking of drivers at the racetrack every week, you were in Charlotte, and what kind of feeling was that with nobody in the stands, the race teams down to a bare minimum? I mean, usually I know the hustle and bustle that goes into all that, just having the total opposite.
Yeah, there was a lot of hustle and bustle still, but it was different. You know, with the sound of the cars, you don't realize that the fans aren't there. You don't miss them until it's quiet, till the end of the race especially. It was a long night. I mean, it was the longest NASCAR race on record. I think it was 604 miles. And then we had that rain delay put in there, so it made the broadcast window even longer. And there were two of us for that race, but all the others were just one reporter, and usually were four. So it's a lot more workload, different way of getting your information. We're not allowed to talk to the pit crews or crew chiefs during the races, just to have to social distance. And when it's so loud, it's just impossible to try to talk. So it's definitely been a different way of doing things. And I will be in Atlanta coming up. I'm covering, as of now, all three series this weekend. So looking forward to that. Definitely be different, you know?
Yeah, for sure, because it's just kind of weird. I mean, you're standing, I guess, about 6 or 7 foot away. You have an audio tech with a boom mic on the driver, and everybody's wearing masks. I did like Denny Hamlin's one after the with the smiley face. That was a neat one.
Yeah, that was. Having a little fun with it. I was waiting for somebody to step up with their mask game and have a little fun with it. It worked out for him getting the win. Put it on.
That's for sure. And it kind of actually looked like it was his face, so it wasn't like something distorted. It just kind of looked like it belonged with the rest of his face. That was pretty weird.
Yeah, exactly. It was creepy.
Maybe all the drivers ought to get something like that. Maybe not a much of a what I would call a shit-eating grin type of look, but
yeah,
something along the line that kind of blends in.
Yeah, well, you see the personality. Some people care about that stuff. They have fun with it. Other people don't care at all. And some people are all about using it as an opportunity to promote their sponsors. So you see a little bit of all.
That's for sure. Usually I kind of figured that, you know, everybody have their sponsor on their mask because, you know, that's where the funds come in to keep them guys going.
Yeah, exactly.
What did you think of the quality of the racing, being they, A, had no practice, and B, didn't qualify? I mean, just like they unloaded the car and off they went.
I think the racing's been incredible. I love what NASCAR's done just with this package this year, and then you couple that with no practice. You see the comers and goers more, and guys have their hands full, and I think it puts, you know, more of a premium on the actual race now. You don't have 3 days leading up to it of on-track activity, so it's all about the race. I think it's a great experiment. I think NASCAR and the, you know, TV channels and all the bosses, everybody's going to evaluate kind of what works in this scenario and what's, you know, what's something we can move forward with. Midweek races, Monday night races, is it good, is it bad? Is it worth it? So I think it's been a great opportunity for all of us, for NASCAR to reach out and try some things they've always wanted to.
That's for sure. I mean, the teams themselves, I mean, with all the people they normally bring to a race, they could say, well, we don't need the engineers here. They could stay at home and do it all on the web.
That's right. Yeah, it's definitely, I think it'll make things more technical if they don't have practice moving forward. I think teams are going to spend a lot more money unless they're capped, you know, with technology, but that'll push out some teams that don't have that extra money. So it'll be interesting to see what they come, you know, what they come up with and move forward with. You know, do we have one practice session like before the race? Is it a 1 day event? It'll be interesting.
That's for sure. And back in the day, I'm pretty sure the Cup Series, I think maybe, you could talk to Richard Petty about that, but they used to have multiple races a week. I think they had over like 60 a year.
Yeah. Yeah, it was. And you know, that helped him to get to that number of wins that he has that they say in the Cup Series. It's just different for the guys now. They don't have the opportunity to run that many races a year. So it could be done. I mean, we've seen it. It's been a feverish pace for the broadcast partners and NASCAR and teams, everybody involved, to just like, okay, we're going racing and we're going to do 7 races in 11 days, and it's going to be different series and some twice at one track, and It's been amazing how it's gone, but I'll tell you what, I think the shorter races have been really incredible.
Oh, yeah, that does take a lot of planning and strategy, too. It, you know, changes the strategy of what to do on track. It, I mean, it's just kind of different. It makes it a long, we'll have to see what happens when they get back to, like, a Pocono or the Brickyard or back to Daytona.
Yeah.
Because everything's going to be different.
Yeah. Well, I'm looking forward to seeing fans in the stands again. That's for sure.
I think you kind of get the feel. I mean, on TV, watching it on TV, you know, like you said, when you hear the cars, you don't notice the fans until it's until everything's done. Watching it on TV, you don't really notice the fans either. So, but
no.
The tracks could use the revenue. I think that's where
I don't know
how NASCAR's
working. The experience for fans. You know, it's more than just sitting in the stands, as you know. I mean, there's all the activity out front, the hospitality areas, the fan zone, and the tailgating. And it's just, you know, the RV part of all of it. You know, the camping, that's a big part of NASCAR over the weekends, and friends getting together. And I know people are missing that a lot. So I'd like to see all that get back when they decide we can do it and do it safely.
Well, hopefully it'll be sooner rather than later, because apparently I'm not a virologist, but all the viruses that come out every year seem to go away when you're out in the summer heat anyway. So hopefully that'll go away. And
that's
this
right.
is probably the first one, and I'm not young, so I've lived through several of these type of things, but this is the first one where they pretty much shut down the whole world, let alone our country alone. I mean,
yeah. It's been incredible. It's crazy times. I just can't believe sometimes I wake up, I'm like, what is going on? There's just so much change. It's like a movie. It's a wild world to raise kids in right now, but you just try to keep them, you know, in the know of what they should know and keep them oblivious to other things. And we just find, you know, pause, I guess, when you get to just stop and say, okay, this is happening. Let's divert our attention for a couple of hours, have some entertainment value, and appreciate racing or appreciate the sports or whatever it may be that are coming back, just to have an escape. That's what we're there for. And I feel the responsibility on our shoulders as a community, NASCAR and the broadcast partners, that we are bringing entertainment and an outlet for people for a few hours.
That's for sure, because you do need that escape. How are the little ones doing?
They're great. They're hanging in there, probably sick and tired of seeing mom and dad every single day. My kids have never seen me this many days in a row in their life. It's been awesome. I'll never get this time back, so I appreciate every minute with them. And it's been really fun. I think it's been nice to have a reset. I know terrible circumstances to have it happen, but it's been a good reset.
Yeah, it kind of makes you reflect inward when you don't have that everyday hustle and bustle, and you get to appreciate life more and the people that are dear to you.
Absolutely.
So going forward with all the series and all, I mean, we had some up-and-comers in the truck series. What do you make of these younger drivers coming in, let's say Haley Deegan or Natalie Decker, or the two young ladies that look like they might have a shot to go somewhere?
Yeah, Haley Deegan, I'm looking forward to the day she does get in the truck series. They're taking their time with her and don't want to rush her along, and I agree. She needs to get really good in every series before she gets to the higher-up series in NASCAR, because I think she is a superstar. I think she has what it takes, and I just don't want them to rush it. Natalie Decker, she's been in there a while. I mean, any girl or woman that's able to go out and compete against the men, give them the most respect. They deal with so much stuff, we have no idea just how hard it is to compete at that level. And I love seeing the women in the truck series. I wish we had women in the Xfinity series and Cup series right now, but we don't. Hopefully that's coming, get some competitive girls in there again. But I enjoy watching them. And the truck series is fantastic. It's such a great, you know, combination of those men that have been there for so long, those those veterans that have championships under their belt. Then you get some of the cup guys coming over. And then you've got all these young guys. I think half the field are rookies. Usually each race there's 3, 4, or 5 making their first ever start in NASCAR. So you have quite the mix. And I love that about it. But I love the Toyota development drivers. They always have their eye on these, the up and comers. And Rafael Lassard is one that I'm keeping my eye on. He hasn't had a great go of it so far, but he's somebody I'm watching. And, you know, Ekis is good. There's a lot of good guys out there doing great things. Ty Majeski is another one. We saw him run in the Xfinity series. I'm glad to see him find a home in the truck series. And I love that series. I look forward to covering, and I covered my first truck race at Daytona. And I may be doing that at Atlanta too.
Good. I do think the truck series, with all the upcoming talent and the established talent and the shorter races, makes for better competition, because somebody's hungry and somebody wants to hold on, as opposed to, and you have a lot, instead of 500 laps or miles to do it in, you got 100 laps or miles to do it in. And you know, makes that hunger drive a little better.
Absolutely. That's what I always said about the IndyCar series. I thought the length of those races is perfect. It's like 2, 2.5 hours, but every lap matters. You can't just say, oh, well, that's a throwaway lap. We'll get them, you know, at the end of the race. You can't do that. And that's how the truck series is. And I love that. There's that sense of urgency. So you see these guys up on the wheel every lap. And they don't back down because they feel like they need to lead every lap to win the race. And it makes for some spectacular wrecks and some spectacular finishes too.
That's for sure. And of course, Brad Keselowski, speaking of, a benefited from an incident at Bristol between his teammate and Chase Elliott, who earlier at Darlington, or was it Charlotte? I can't remember. They're all so bunched together, it's hard to keep track. Him and Kyle Busch tangled and cost Chase the win. So it's like, it's just one of those things, I guess,
yeah,
with everybody going
Bristol
on.
Yeah, and then Chase pitting at the Coke 600 gave Brad the win. So you get yourself in position. You know, he might not have the fastest car, as he said, but he gets the win because he capitalizes on others' mistakes, and just so happened to be Chase Elliott both times winning the race for Brad.
Yeah, that's kind of funny. Maybe they should be teammates. I know Brad's contract is
yeah.
up Penske, but
yes,
he's looking,
it is.
I guess, just to...
Yeah, we don't know what's going to happen. We know Brad's up, and it's funny how so often in any sport, when somebody's contract is up, all of a sudden, you know, they're breaking records or they're just winning and standing out and getting a lot of people to talk about them. It's funny how that works.
I know. Well, he usually gets a few wins every year, just had a little tough time in the playoffs there. So, and the stage issues, a lot of people hate it. Some people like it. How do you take on it?
Well, I love stage racing. I think it's really changed the game. Sorry, changing my audio here. It changed the game. I think people, I think, enjoy it. The purists maybe don't love it so much, but I think it's full races within one now. You know when you're going to get a TV timeout, and these guys know that there's points on the line, so they're racing hard like it's the end of the race when it's the end of the stage. That's something that we didn't get to see when it's just a start-to-finish race. I think it was genius. It's something that I think NASCAR did a really nice job at. And it mixes up the strategy, too, for these guys. When do you pit? Do you split it? Do you come in third? I mean, it's fun. It's more to watch and more to cover.
Oh, that's for sure. I remember years ago when I was at Dover, I was interviewing Kenny Wallace, and we were talking about the length of the races and all the green flag laps, and we were talking about maybe NASCAR ought to put an intermission sometime in the middle of the race. And I think they kind of did that with these stages.
That's exactly right. Other sports, you know when you're going to have a break or a pause in the action, and they go to a commercial break, and then they come back, you didn't miss anything. NASCAR was just unique in that every time we went to commercial break, you were going to miss quite a few laps, and that's not the case now with stage racing. There's still some laps that we'll miss, but for the most part, you know when a stage is coming, okay, now's the time to get up, go to the bathroom, refresh your drinks and food, and you're not going to miss any of the action. So it's another opportunity for a pit stop, which is a great place for competition and strategy calls. So, yeah, I think it's been really good. I know it was a process for many, many years of them trying to decide the best way to add some more, you know, excitement in the competition, and they did it.
That's for sure. I think personally, though, they should have, instead of making the first two stages equal and the third one longer, two stages equal but longer, and made the last one shorter, like more of a shootout situation.
Yeah, yeah, they've had to mix it up, like with the Coke 600. You don't want to mess with that, but I think it's a work in progress. They're always trying to figure out what to do next and, you know, the best way to make it competitive.
That's true. That's the main thing. You got to keep the fans coming when they get to return. I think that should help a lot. I think they'll have a boom in attendance. And
yeah.
B, keep the people at home who are watching on TV entertained so they keep watching.
Absolutely. That's right. We want good racing. That cures all.
So before we call it a day, because our time's almost up, I want to see who you think will take it in Atlanta.
Oh, boy. It's so hard to bet against Kevin Harvick at Atlanta. I think he's always so good. His pick crew is so on it this year. So I would probably say he's going to be my pick. But Chase Elliott, I think, overall has had the best car this year. Best average finish, you know, best average finish at Atlanta, too, in all four of his starts. So, I don't know. I'm going to go with Chase. I got to go with Chase.
You were right about Harvick, and actually the one who led the most laps in the Atlanta race last year, as I'm looking at it, is no longer in the series due to something he said on iRacing. And guess who won the race? Brad.
So you never
know. He might look into another one.
Yeah, he could steal another one. Brad's good at Atlanta, and he's coming off a win. He's got a lot of momentum on his side. Brad is—he's a good racer. He's finding his jam with his new crew chief, Jeremy Bullen.
Yeah, so that might be something looking forward to. And it seemed to be that since the return to racing, Ford has had the better runs, and I think Toyota was kind of next, but. I guess I'll go with the Ford, and being you're going with Chase, I'll go with Harvick.
Okay, sounds like a plan.
All right. Jamie, you take care. Thanks again for coming on. Always happy to talk to you, my friend, and I'll be watching this weekend. Don't work too hard. Well, might not be as hard as it used to be.
Thanks so much. Yeah, right.
All right.
Thank you so much.
All righty. Bye-bye now.
Bye-bye.
There you have it, Jamie Little, Fox Sports pit reporter, friend of mine from over 10 years ago. She was single then, now she's married, two kids, living in Indianapolis, selling cakes. So good to have her on. So she's going with Chase Elliott, I'm going with Kevin Harvick. So that's our show for today. Hope you all enjoyed it. I'm Vinny. You've been listening to Garage Talk Live on blogtalkradio.com/Garage Talk Live. And we'll see you all next week. Good day and definitely good racing. Bye now. All three series, trucks, Xfinity and Cup this weekend in Hotlanta. Bye now.